Children's Church. We're going to be continuing today in, or actually not continuing, but finishing our series, The Gifts of Christmas. And so far we've looked at the gift of grace, that we don't deserve any of this. It's all by God's grace that we receive salvation. It's all by God's grace we receive God's presence in our life and the full life that He desires to give us. But we talked about the gift of expectancy and what it means to have an expectant heart, not only looking for Christ in those moments where we connect with Him in word and in prayer, where we set aside time to connect with God, that we go with expectancy to meet with Him, but we also have expectancy longing for His return. We looked at the gift of reconciliation. It's a fancy theological word that talks about bringing two parties that are in conflict back together. And specifically, we looked at the fact that God took the initiative to send His Son Jesus to make the way for us to be reconciled back into relationship with God our Father, to be put back into right relationship with Him. On Christmas Eve, we were reminded of the fact that all of these gifts, the gift of grace, the gift of expectancy, reconciliation, and our message for today, the gift of adoption. And there's actually more. We could have gone a lot longer on this list of all that we receive when we experience the change of heart, when we put our life in Christ's hands, when we come to that place where we accept Christ personally as our personal Lord and Savior. We receive each of these gifts, and we've been reminded of that truth that on Christmas Eve, it all comes down to whether or not we've received the gift of Jesus into our life, and that all these other gifts, everything else falls on whether or not we've put our faith and trust in Him. But today, as we wrap up, we are going to look at that issue of adoption. And it's all throughout the New Testament. It's amazing. I had to be selective of what verses we looked at today, because there's so many verses in the New Testament that talk about adoption. And we've been blessed as a community of faith to witness families who have made the choice to adopt and open up their hearts, open up their lives to embrace a child into their home. And that picture of what we see in the beautiful picture of adoption, there's a theological message in that too. And so we're going to watch a video that speaks to this truth. And I just want to encourage you, just open up your hearts. My prayer for you today is twofold, that you would not only open up your hearts to a greater degree of understanding God's love for you, that He loves you and that He chose you to be His child, but also that you would also see God's example in this, in the spirit of adoption, and begin to open up your own heart and your own life, whether God calls you to be an adoptive parent, or whether you just means you open up your heart and your life to others out there that just need someone that would open up their life to them. Whether that's providing a meal, whether that's just opening them up and opening up your life to let them be a part of your family in some way. That's my prayer for you today, is that you experience God's love, that He chose you to be His adopted child, but that you also would follow His example in opening up your own heart to His love. Let's go ahead and watch that clip.
It's from my husband, and I know what it is. I know because he told me right after we were married that he told me what he was going to get me on this Christmas. I guess I just never thought this Christmas would actually get here. So, see, I always knew that I was meant to be a mother, and my husband was meant to be a dad. I just knew it. I was sure of it. Till I wasn't. It happened slowly at first. I didn't notice it, but after a while, the cute little jokes that our friends made, they stopped being funny. And, well, the constant pep talks from our family reminding us that it just takes time, well, it started to become more defeating than encouraging. It's actually a little frightening to think how many dark places my mind went to during those years. I mean, I thought, had I done something wrong? Was I being punished? I even convinced myself that somehow, some way, God had abandoned us in our pursuit of our dream of being parents. I thought, maybe if I prayed more or trusted more, believed more, then maybe. But after years of praying and trusting and believing, I had nothing to show for it. Nothing but a broken heart and a bunch of empty tissue boxes. Well, we eventually just learned to live with our broken hearts. I mean, it was just the way it was going to be. Till it wasn't. It was December 21st. I remember because I opened my advent calendar and there was an extra piece of chocolate in there. I love that. I love it when that happens. But that was not the best part. The best part was the scripture message that came with the chocolate. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has chosen me. He has commissioned me to encourage the poor, to help the brokenhearted. Oh. See, in this prophecy about the coming Messiah, God reassured me that not only had he not forgotten about us, but that he wanted to help us. Well, that little seed of hope found its way into my heart. And yes, God does have a strange way of doling out kids, but we soon realized that we didn't have to necessarily experience the miracle of childbirth to experience the miracle of having a child. So, while my friends were off to Lamaze classes, we met with lawyers and social workers and notaries, and it took us a lot longer than 9 months to become parents, but that little miracle, she was worth the wait. In my wildest dreams, I could never have imagined how God would orchestrate this for us, but he did it. He did it. You know, just the other day, God reminded me that he provided baby Jesus in a very strange way on that very first Christmas. He didn't come like everyone thought he was going to show up. He also reminded me that because of Jesus, I am his adopted child. And if he loves me as much as I love that little girl, well, I don't have to ever question his love for me again.
So those of you with tissues can pass those to those that don't have tissues. But you know, that there are a couple of things that she said later in the video that really just stuck to me. And especially having walked through the process of adoption with not only my best friend and his family, and then I'll share a little bit about that today, but both in my congregation in Pittsburgh and the congregation here, I had the privilege of walking through the process of adoption. And experiencing the joy when that child is brought into the new family. You know, some things that she said, though, that really help us, I think, not only understand what this experience of adoption is for those that would choose to adopt a child, but the picture that it gives us from Scripture of God's love for us. She said, you know, she had said earlier in the video, she said, as she's talking about the long journey they had and the pain and the heartache, she said, we learned to live with our broken hearts. It's just the way that it was going to be until it wasn't. And God answered her prayers in a different way, but God answered her prayers. And part of his answering her prayers was also opening up her heart and her husband's heart to consider adoption. But, you know, as she was reflecting on God's love for her, she made a powerful observation. She said, because of Jesus, she understood, I am his adopted child. Because of Jesus, I am his adopted child. And she said, if he loves me as much as I love this little girl, well, I don't have to ever question his love for me again. And that really captures the heart of what I hope happens for us this morning, is that whether it's for the first time or whether it's for the 100th time, that God would just recapture your heart to begin to understand just how great his love truly is toward you. That God would choose you. And God would choose you to be his very own child, and that you would be welcomed into his family. Two key words that we're going to look at today as we think about this idea of God adopting us as his own is, one is that idea of choice, that God chooses us. And the second is that issue of belonging and what it really means to belong to God's family. I want to encourage you to turn to Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. We looked at, this was our call to worship this morning. This is on the screen if you want to follow along, but also you can look in your own Bible or pew Bible. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. I love this. This is not a passage we typically would look at Christmas time, but it's talking about, in the fullness of time, God sending his son. So it does really relate to our celebration of this past week of celebrating Christ's birth. But Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Now, just a few comments on this before we move on. I love that, so one of those phrases we just kind of skip over sometimes, but the idea of, "but when the fullness of time had come," I kind of like look at this picture of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit in eternity, and that moment arriving to say, "It's time." Because it was what we see in these verses is it was God's plan from the beginning, to send his son. This was not a mid-course correction. It was God's plan from the beginning to send his son, to make this demonstration of his love for us, and to make the way for us to be restored and redeemed and brought back into relationship with God, but brought into relationship with as his very own son or daughter. Now, the language obviously is, throughout this, is talking about being adopted as his sons. Ladies, that includes you. This is sons and daughters. We're being adopted as his children into his family. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoptions as sons. We're adopted as his children. And because you are his sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son, the very Spirit of Christ, into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. In Romans 8, very similar language, talks about the fact that not only does God give us the spirit of adoption, that spirit that cries out, "Abba," which is literally daddy. It's a very personal name to refer to God. But that God's spirit not only gives that, births that within us, that we cry out to God, our Father, our Father God, our heavenly daddy. But he also, that in Romans 8, he also indicates that process of God giving us that spirit that cries out, "Abba, Father," is a picture of God's spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are his child, that we are his own. Today, as we think about this truth, that God has sent his son, and that Christ has made the way for us to not only be forgiven, to receive his grace, all the things we've been talking about, but that we can be forgiven, we can be redeemed, we can be put back into relationship with God, we are then put into a very specific and very special relationship with God, and it's described as an issue of being his son, being his child. And I want us to think for a moment today, I want us to focus on this idea that when we come to faith in Christ, all this rests on this idea that God, yes, God chose us, but then we also then have to respond to the gift of salvation that God gives us. But that when we respond to him, when we receive the gift of salvation, when we enter into relationship with Christ, everything that we're talking about today is true. And it's something that we can walk in, that we can experience. It's not just something that's theology. It's something that is meant to be experienced in the life of the believer. that we would know that we are God's child and that we would know his love, and that God's Spirit would bear witness within our own spirit and cry out to God, our Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, Daddy. Two words I'd like us to focus on today and two statements. If you look at the next slide, one is we need to understand that when we have this encounter with Christ, when we're adopted as his children, it reminds us that we are chosen in love. We are chosen in love. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6 says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us for the adoption of his sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. You know, when we talk about being predestined or being chosen, a lot of theologians and a lot of pastors like to argue the specifics of this and get into debates. So, okay, well, how much is our responsibility to respond to God's gift of grace, and how much is it just in God's choosing? And maybe it's just me, but I don't like the theological arguments. I believe that there are theological truths that are meant to be in tension. And the fact that God chooses us does not take away from the fact that we also then have to respond to the gift that God has given us. What we see in these passages are reflected in John 1, 12 through 13, and this is a slide that's going to come up. We're not going to change, don't change off this slide yet. But we're going to look at these verses in a moment. John 1, 12 through 13, I just want to read this and think about that idea of God choosing and then our responding, because they're really captured in these verses. John 1, 12 through 13 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Those verses don't necessarily use the word adoption, but that's what it's about. The idea of God choosing, and that for those who have received him, those who have believed in his name, he's given the right to become his children. Not based on blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but the will of God in his choosing us. The Ephesians passage that's in front of you emphasizes some very important things about what it means to be chosen by God. And again, this is where I think sometimes we get caught up, some people get caught up in theological arguments and miss the power and the significance of what it means for God to have chosen us, for God to have looked at each of us and said, I choose you. One of the things that we see very clearly is that this choice of God inviting us to be his child, it's a choice made in love. Love is the motivation. Love is at the heart of the decision. Love is at the heart of the entire experience of our Heavenly Father choosing us in love to be his own child. We see also in these verses that we're chosen for a very specific purpose. Not only are we chosen, but we're chosen specifically to be in this relationship of a father and a child relationship. And according to verse 4 of Ephesians, that we're not only chosen to be his child, but that in this process of becoming his child, he creates a change in us that we can't create on our own. He begins to change us from the inside out. And we reflect these words, again, verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You know, that picture, sometimes I think some people think that, well, they got to somehow strive to be good, be holy and perfect so that God would love them. What we see in the scriptures is that God loved us. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is there for us even when we don't deserve it. And despite ourselves, despite our sin, despite our weaknesses, despite our failings, God's love pursues us. And in this experience, though, we understand that it's the change happens when we have an encounter with Christ, when we put our faith and trust in Christ. Christ becomes Savior personally. We put our trust in him. He becomes Lord. We surrender our lives to follow him. We become his child. And through this entire process, not only does God's Spirit give us what the New Testament describes as new life, new birth, but God begins to create a change in us from the inside out so that we become more and more like Christ. back in Romans 8 again. This verse is not on the screen, but Romans 8:29 says that God chose us, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Again, the reason he chose us was that we would become conformed to the image of Christ, that we become more like Jesus. The Christian life is not about us trying to make God happy with us and try to make God love us and become more like him so that he'll then accept us. As God has accepted us, he's made us his own child, and then we go and with Christ in us, his Spirit at work in our lives, we become more and more people who reflect the image of Christ. And that was God's plan from the beginning. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. You know, years ago, this came to me too late. I didn't have time to research which life conference it was at. How many of you have been to a life conference? A few of you? Life conferences every 3 years. Our youth are planning to go this summer to Kansas City. But every 3 years, our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, does a huge youth convention. It's usually between 6,000 and 8,000 kids. Some of you, that's scary. I know it sounds scary, but it's actually an awesome experience. And both myself and Pastor Steve and his family, they're away this weekend. But both Pastor Steve and I felt our call into ministry. A life conference. So I'm a fan of the life conference because I know my life was impacted through that experience. But I remember going back, I can't remember which year, I'm thinking it was either 86 or 92, a man named Dave Busby spoke. Any of you here, Dave? Remember Dave? Okay. Dave had a lot of health issues. He died in the late 90s, 1997. I'll just read you the list of the diseases that he suffered with through most of his life. It said over the years he struggled with cystic fibrosis, polio, liver disease, heart disease, and diabetes. I know when he was speaking, often he would have trouble because a lot of what he was dealing with affected his lungs. And he had trouble even just breathing, and yet he was one of the most passionate speakers I've ever heard. The energy that he had and just communicating the love of God was something it impacted me in a significant way. And I remember one specific story that he shared because, again, he had older brothers. He had an older brother that was a great athlete. Dave loved playing sports, loved basketball, but because of all the physical challenges he experienced, he didn't have the privilege of really being able to blossom in that like his brother did. But I remember being impacted by Dave telling the story one day that he was experiencing that dreaded lineup of a pickup basketball game. Some of you know what I mean by dreaded lineup. Jim, you and I, we were always the first persons picked, right? It's something I hated that. I know growing up I hated being, because I was typically not the first person picked to be on the team. You line up, and each of the captains pick their teams, pick their sides. And Dave Busby shared the story at the youth conference that year about a time that his brother was one of the two captains. And they got prepared, and he's just discouraged. He knows he's going to be the last one picked again. And his brother just scans down the line, and he gets to Dave and says, "Dave, I choose you. First pick." And the being startled by it, he looked at him again and he said, "Dave, I choose you." That moment for Dave was an encounter of God's love. It was not only a reminder that his brother loved him, but it was a picture of God's love for him. And for you and me, the reality is that when God looks at us, when he's scanning down the line and looking at each one of us, even in our sin, even with all of our shortcomings, with all of our failures, with all of our brokenness, he looks at us and he says, "I choose you." I'm going to hear that again. Even despite our sin, our shortcomings, with all of our failures, with all of our brokenness, and if you don't think any of that thing applies to you, we need to talk because that's all of us. We're all broken. We all have sin in our life. We're all, Scripture is clear, we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, short of his best. despite our sin, despite our shortcomings, despite our failures, despite our brokenness, our Heavenly Father looks at us and says, I choose you. His choosing us is an act of love. We looked just a couple weeks ago, or I think last week now, that all the messages are kind of blurring together, but we looked at the fact that God sending his Son was a way that he manifested, demonstrated his love. And the fact that he chose us also gives us that picture of God's love for us. His choosing is an act of love, motivated by love, and is a demonstration of his love for us, and he invites us to be in relationship with him. We're chosen in love, and we are given the opportunity to be his son, to be his daughter, to be part of God's family. And that's the second thing we're going to look at. Not only are we chosen in love, again, if you've put your faith in Christ, you've had this encounter where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've experienced this truth, we have been chosen in love. But we also belong to God's family. And that issue of being chosen and now that issue of belonging, they go hand in hand. God chose us to belong, to be a part of his family. Galatians 4:7, again, one of the verses we've already looked at, says, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And John 1:12-13, which I read earlier, says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's two things you see in these verses. There's a change in status. Paul in Galatians, he's talking about being a slave to the law. And so there's this change of being a slave to being a son. But we see throughout the New Testament again and again this image of the before and after encounter, that when we put our faith in Christ, when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ and experience him personally as Savior, that there's a change in our status, in our relationship, to where we're outside of the family of God and now we're inside of the family of God. And the scripture is clear, is that not only are we now fully part of God's family, but that change in status, there's a term used here that is critical. It says that we are now not only a son, but an heir. In Roman law, it's the tradition here, this was not a religious language. This was not religious language. This was Roman law language that is being used here, not only by Paul, but by John. In Roman law, to be adopted meant that you were removed from your previous family state and you were placed in a brand new relationship with a new father and thus a new family. With that, some of the implications in Roman law was that if you had any previous debts from in your previous family and those relationships, that those debts were canceled. Sound a little bit like what Christ does for us? Those debts were canceled and we're given a brand new life, a clean slate with all of the benefits of being adopted. This adopted son would now be under the control of the new father and be responsible to the father. Also went on, it says it was normal not only for the newly adopted son, not only to formally be recognized as a new son in the family, but also to become the rightful heir to the father's estate, just as if they were blood relatives. You know, the reality is what this author shared about Roman law is not that much different than what we experience even today. I've had the privilege both in Allegheny County and in Warren County to witness the legal state of Pennsylvania and the county, each county had a slightly different language, but to witness the legal charge to the adoptive parents. And one of the things that was addressed a little differently in both, but is always addressed, is that if you have or will have any biological children, that this child that you're adopting would be treated the same. This child would not be treated any different than how you would treat the biological child, even to the point of receiving an inheritance. You know, that language, I actually researched, tried to find a copy of the script. I could not find it. But I remember that vividly in every adoption ceremony that I've ever had the privilege of witnessing. Is that judge wants to be clear that the adoptive parents understand that when you receive this child is the same as if they gave birth to the child. And that that child is now part of that family. That's the picture of what God does for each one of us. We're not second-class citizens with God. Every one of us, when we've received the gift of salvation and we've received Christ, and we respond to his gift when he looks at us and says, I choose you, we respond to that. We have that an experience of becoming his child. We receive all the benefits of being his child. Not only the present benefits, but even as an heir, knowing that our inheritance is still to come. As a follower of Christ, we understand that we not only experience Christ in his presence now, we look forward to our inheritance to know that our eternity is secure in him. We're treated just as any biological child would be treated. God looks at us with love and says, I choose you. You're part of my family. You know, I've not only, again, had the privilege of walking with church families in both my previous congregation and here through the adoptive process, but I've also had the opportunity closely to walk with my best friend and his family. And many of you got to hear Leanne preach back in August. Wayne and Leanne Shaw are the pastors of City View Church, where our kids did a mission trip this last summer. Wayne has been my prayer partner since college. And it's been always amazing to me that at every stage of my life, Wayne and I have been really dealing with the same issues. Whether it was in college, dating, and that whole process, or later when we found someone that we thought could be the one and we entered into marriage and those early days of adjusting the marriage, and then God gave us the gift of both being in the Pittsburgh area when we became fathers. Wayne and Leanne have adopted 3 children. All 3 of them have been adopted. This week I had to make a trip to Pittsburgh, and I coordinated having lunch with Wayne, and his oldest son Shaw was there, and Wayne and I had one table. They were off on the side so that Wayne and I could talk, but had an opportunity before we left to give Shaw a hug. Shaw's now about a foot taller than I am. But I remember the process of when they got a call from another state. People thought of Wayne and Leanne and said, I think this child belongs in your family. And I walked with them through that whole process of them just opening up their homes. Shaw is actually named after Leanne. That's her maiden name, was Shaw. So they named him Shaw after his mom. But, you know, I watched him with Shaw. I watched him then with Isaiah. Every child they adopted was slightly different. But, you know, when Wayne and I would sit down and talk about the challenges of parents, and we did that again this week, being a parent, older kids, different challenges. But you know, at every stage of our life journey, we've talked through these experiences, and I remember this like it was yesterday, them just opening up their home to experience this new relationship with their children. And at any point in our conversation, there's no difference. Wayne and Leanne's love for Shaw and Isaiah and Kayla is no different than my love for Bryce and Caitlin. We have the same challenges, parenting challenges. Again, this week, that was a big subject of our conversation, about our current challenges as a parent. But all of our conversations flow out of a motivation that we love our children. They're part of our family, and we're pouring our lives into them. That's the picture of what God does for each one of us. God, motivated in love, chose you. He opens up the door for you to be a part of his family. He welcomes you in. We have to make the choice to receive that gift, the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation. But when we take that step, it can experience the love of our Heavenly Father in a way that we were created to experience. And if you're here and you've never taken that step, I encourage you to remember today that God's love, even though you haven't responded to his gift, it's like you're still standing on the line. He's looking down the line and he's looking at you and saying, Steve, I choose you. Mary, I choose you. If you hear him calling your name today, I encourage you, don't leave. We're celebrating with some folks that have recently made decisions to put their faith in Christ. over the last few weeks who heard God calling their name and took that step. And I want to ask you today, if you're here today and you've never took that step in response, I encourage you to do that. As we close today, as we pray, just know the altar is open. Talk to me. I'll explain what that means to become part of God's family. But I think every one of us every day need to be have our hearts stretched to the place where we understand God's love for us to a greater degree, that we understand that we have a Heavenly Father that chose us, a Heavenly Father that adopted us as His own child, and He loves us. And with that, that we not only would have a greater sense of God's love for us, and like the woman in the video, she made the comment, and I want to repeat what she said, if I can get to my notes. She made the comment that, she said, because of Jesus, I am His adopted child, and if He loves me as much as I love this little girl, well, I don't ever have to question His love again. That's my first prayer for you today, is that you don't question God's love for you. He chose you. He's invited you to be His child. He invites you to respond to that gift. But I also think that in this video, kind of an undercurrent was that picture of this woman and her husband opening up their homes, opening up their lives, opening up their hearts to this child. And that's my prayer for each one of you. I believe that some of you, God may be calling you to adopt, to open up your heart, to open up your life, to actually adopt a child. But what I do believe is that God is calling every one of us to not only open up our church, to open up our families, to open up our lives, to open up our hearts to those who need to know that they are loved by God, and that need the ones that are longing to know that they have a place where they can belong. As Christ followers, we need to share in that spirit of adoption and open up our hearts and our lives to those who need to know they're loved and need to know that there's a place for them to belong. And I encourage you today to just open up your heart. Let God just open it up a bit and see what He's going to do with that. Will you pray with me as the worship team comes? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to Your love. We're so grateful, Lord, that in love You chose each one of us. And Lord, I just pray even today that we would not only respond to Your gift of love, that we would take that step to, Lord, claim that promise for anyone who received You, to those who believed in Your name, that You've given us the right to become Your children. Lord, may we really live that experience in our lives, that we would not only know this to be true, but that we would experience this truth in our life, to know that we are Your child and that we are loved. But Lord, also transform our hearts, Lord, that we would open up our hearts and our lives to others. Lord, that others might know the love that You have for them and be welcomed into Your family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.